Hi, and welcome to Deep Dive with Jamie Stein, where we take a deep dive look at all things reality TV, pop culture, and the world at large. I'm an intuitive and an empath, which means I pick up on the thoughts, feelings, and energy percolating in other people and the world around me. I believe there is meaning waiting to be found at every turn, if you're willing to see it. So join me as we dismantle everything from trash TV to high spiritual concepts and learn more about ourselves, each other, and how we're all connected. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Deep Dive with Jamie Stein. I am excited about today's episode because I'm going to do a solo episode, a bit of a quick hit solo episode. I haven't done one of these in a minute, but I know that there was breaking news in the Bravo sphere this past week with the announcement of Kyle Richards and Mauricio Mansky's separation. And I definitely got my fair share of messages asking me to offer my intuitive take. So I thought it would be prudent just to hop on here, do something quick and dirty, drop in to Mauricio and Kyle and see what I'm possibly picking up regarding their feelings towards the separation or towards one another. You know, of course, offering the caveat that I often offer, which is I obviously do not know Kyle Richards personally. She is not here. I am going off very limited information, both what I see on the show and also, you know, what I read about in the news. And so, as always, we hold this all lightly. I always hold this as playful exploration. And for me, this isn't so much about making a quote unquote accurate prediction of what's going on in Kyle's internal life. For me, the intention with this kind of thing is always much deeper. And it really has much more to do with the fact that, you know, all celebrities, all people who are in the public eye, in my mind, they are all different iterations and manifestations of the collective consciousness. You know, they are the gods and goddesses and the heroes and the heroines of our times. They are the ones who are populating contemporary myth. You know, back in the old days, as we've explored previously in recent episodes regarding Scandoval, there was a huge emphasis on myth and storytelling to really contextualize our lives here on Earth and what it is to be human. And I think that sacred storytelling is something that we've really gotten away from. And yet storytelling continues to exist, and it always will. There's something about it that is part and parcel to our human DNA. I think that stories really help us drop out of the head and out of our usual myopic perspective that we're used to looking at the world through every day. And it drops us into certainly our hearts. It drops us into our sense of empathy. We watch this character go through something and it drops us into a deeper emotional understanding that then allows us to reflect on our own circumstances in a more grounded, more deeply connected way than if we were just trying to figure things out from our heads in the usual routine of our daily lives. So stories are very important, and the characters who populate these stories are very important. And as I'm always saying, reality TV, it is a huge form of storytelling that dominates our world today. And so I think it's very important because I think it's something we are all dreaming up as a collective. So yes, even though Mauricio and Kyle are two individuals who are on their own individual journeys, they also represent something in the collective consciousness. And I know just even from scanning social media, like people have been hit really hard by news of their separation. It's triggering things in people. And that's because Kyle and Mauricio stand for something for all of us. They stand for something for us as individuals, for us as a collective. And by the way, what they stand for is going to mean different things for different people. That's what's so kind of cool, exciting, and multi-dimensional about things that happen in the public consciousness is that it can have so many different meanings based on who is doing the interpreting and where someone's coming from in their own lives. That's the symbiotic connection between the individual and the collective. So it's all very rich. So for me, when I'm drawn dropping into Kyle Richards, or when I'm dropping into Mauricio Mansky, like I said, it's not even so much about doing a magic trick where I'm maybe making an accurate prediction about what's going on with them emotionally. It's more me dropping into the situation, dropping into a field with an intention of getting deeper information, like going below the surface level of just, you know, the exciting dopamine hit of gossip or juicy scandal, and instead navigating possible emotional, spiritual themes, essentially extracting the inner emotional life or the moral of the story that we're watching play out with an intention and a hope that it's going to reverberate some type of way for the people who are listening to this. Do I think that I often do tap into things that turn out to have real currents and veins of truth for the people involved? Yes, absolutely. And I've gotten that feedback from people who are on these shows. But this is all just to say my intention here really isn't to like capitalize on other people's misfortune. It's not to violate the emotional realms of the people involved. It truly is simply to take the story that, again, is playing out in public consciousness, striking a nerve in public consciousness, and seizing this opportunity to go a little bit deeper and see what's there for all of us. And you know what? If Kyle Richards or Mauricio ends up hearing this and it helps them in some way, great. My deeper intention, like I said, is just to get anyone who's listening to this thinking about the deeper themes, thinking about how it might relate to them, seeing where it takes them in terms of their own internal lives, so we can all relate to these stories from a deeper, more intentional, more holistic, and ultimately more healing place. So, having said that, like I said, I think I'm just going to start really simple, and I'm just going to drop in to Kyle Richards towards Mauricio present day and just see what comes up. All right. So having said that, here I go. Okay. So it's really interesting. So as Kyle, when I take in Mauricio, I'm sort of seeing him there, and there's definitely like a swell of anger that's coming up through me, and it feels like it's got like a chokehold on my throat. And my hands are turning into fists. I've got my little pillow right here, so I'm just going to kind of let myself embody some of this energy, because there's something in her that really, it really feels angry, and it's just like, ugh. I just keep hearing the word snap the fuck out of it. Now I'm hearing the words take a stand for me, which is interesting. I don't know what that's about, but I'm hearing that. But that's kind of the energy of this. It's like, wake the fuck up, snap out of it, take a stand for me. And what's interesting is that as Kyle, when I'm taking Mauricio in, he's kind of got this like, not a smirk in a snotty way. He's just got kind of this like casual cavalier smile on his face. The kind of smile that you see him have often on the show, just sort of like a bemused, good-natured smile on his face. But I can tell, like, as Kyle, it's not like a joyful smile of a man who's sort of deeply emotionally connected to me. It feels like a guy who's checked out. Like there's something sort of vacant behind the smile, and that's the impulse behind this voice that's saying, snap out of it, wake the fuck up, take a stand for me. And so I want to say it's interesting. I mean, there are a couple things that are sort of coming to me at once as I start to explore this possible energy. One, I really want to say, I actually, as Jamie, who's watched this show from the first season, I often experience Mauricio as energetically checked out, with a caveat that, in some ways it surprises me to say this, because I want to acknowledge he feels like a very loving man. And it's not to say that I don't feel his heart. I mean, there's a way in which he's present in the household, at least in terms of what we see on TV. I mean, he clearly loves his daughters. I think it's clear that he loves Kyle. He clearly has worked very hard to create a nice life for them. So when I say that he's checked out, I'm not saying he's like completely gone, but I will say it's actually exactly what I'm experiencing in this moment from Kyle's point of view. It's like he's there and he's present, and, you know, much like he has a smile on his face, like there's love that emanates from him and there's ways that he shows up. So yes, he's there, but he's not fully there. And, you know, one of the things that I've always been so drawn to that never really gets talked about, at least that I've seen from the fans and whatnot, is Mauricio so often being high on marijuana. And it's funny because when people do talk about it, both on the show and also just in the Bravo sphere, people do talk about it in this really kind of like, as if it's really funny and it's charming and it's like, oh, there goes Mauricio again, getting high. And I gotta say, for me, I've never particularly found it funny or endearing. It's part of what's led to this feeling in me of like, this guy's kind of checked out. We don't see him that much on the show. And then when we do, he's often high. Also, you guys, just to be clear, I am not implying that anyone who gets high regularly does so to check out. I know that there are all different types of ways to use cannabis, and I know that it's can be a real tool of assistance for a lot of different people. So please, if you're listening to this, don't think that I'm assuming that anyone who uses cannabis regularly is doing so to check out. I'm just saying, in terms of Mauricio's particular relationship to marijuana, it has felt to me like there's a very real possibility that he is using it as a way to check out rather than to support any kind of deeper, more meaningful connection to life. And then, you know, just kind of like piggybacking that, it's almost like what we see of him on the show. And again, I'm going off very limited information, but what we do get on the show is like he's either working really hard, right? And again, creating the agency, taking them to greater and greater heights of success, right? Or he's high. And so for me, theoretically, I could very easily envision a world where those two things are kind of two halves of the same coin, like being totally or very much focused on his work, throwing himself into his work, again, perhaps for the quote unquote sake of the family, and then being high, checking out. Both things are potentially vehicles and vessels for Mauricio not being fully there or present. It reminds me a little bit of like, it just brings to mind Kyle from Summer House, whom I love. But, you know, it's like with him, I've always noticed there's this like tendency to workaholism. And then when he's not working, there can be a tendency towards really extreme partying and sort of drinking for the sake of getting drunk. And for me, I kind of experienced it a similar way. Not so much a checking out, but just that same notion of kind of work hard, play hard. Those are two, they seem almost diametrically opposed, but there's a way in which they can serve the same purpose, which is basically both halves of that coin being possible escape routes from a deeper connection with self or other. So yes, I'm definitely in this moment experiencing Mauricio as a man who's sort of there, but not all there. And then Kyle's sort of anger in response to that. The other thing that's really coming to me right now that I want to touch on is as I've mentioned before on this podcast, I get tons of ideas for videos and Instagram content that I don't actually end up recording just because of time energy constraints. And one of the videos that I really wish I had recorded now was several months back when there was all that talk about Kyle's rapid weight loss. And I wanted to just to do a video where I was going to drop into kind of her relationship to her body transformation and her weight loss. Just to be clear, this was not going to be an episode about Ozempic. I was not going to weigh in on that. It was strictly just going to be about Kyle's relationship to her changing body and just seeing what was there. And, you know, I didn't end up recording the video, but I did do some prep work where I just kind of went inside myself to see what I started picking up on. And it was really interesting because what was coming to me, well, one, it absolutely felt like a form of control. Kind of like, you know, the voice that I'm hearing is like, this is something that I can control. And as I followed it a little bit deeper, what I really started feeling for Kyle was this sense of life is starting to feel more and more out of control. And actually taking it a step further, the old things that used to work for me are no longer working for me in the same way. So what I was aware of is there was like a ton, there is a ton of change in her life. So, I mean, one, I just want to say, you know, Kyle, as we all are, is getting older, you know, and I think for all of us, any of us who have like passed the 40-year mark, you know, it's a very real thing that as you get older, there is, of course, a deeper sense of mortality that sets in. And it, of course, can kick into overdrive if there's anything that's sort of unresolved in you or holes that still feel empty that you've been trying to fill unsuccessfully. As you get older, those sort of gaps between how you want to feel inside yourself and how you actually feel inside yourself, they can become really aggravated, you know, especially for someone like Kyle, who has generated a lot of a certain type of success for herself. I mean, she really fulfilled Big Kathy's wish for her daughters with like the successful, handsome husband, you know, the successful career in the entertainment industry, fame, fortune, really inhabiting a very kind of prominent role in the pop culture zeitgeist. Like in terms of exterior things, Kyle really has had it made. You know, so I can imagine, especially for someone like Kyle, for whom I think it's clear she does, or historically, she's invested a lot of currency in these kinds of external trappings of fame, fortune, designer labels, movie roles, you know, the whole thing. I can imagine if she's getting older and realizing I've achieved all these things, I've gathered all these things, and yet it's still not filling me up in the way that I thought it would. That right there could be enough to kind of start spinning her out, right? But I think, you know, concurrent with all of that, I'm very aware, for example, like the show itself, I've actually sort of felt intuitively for the past few seasons that Kyle's kind of been a little bit like an automatic pilot. Like the vibe I've gotten off her, and maybe I'm completely wrong about this, has been like this is a job, like I've got a job to do, and I'm a professional, and I know how to do this. I know how to stir shit up. I know how to be a kind of like good employee who sort of produces the show. And, you know, when I felt into that, like I've just felt this possible thread in Kyle of, you know, the part of her that wonders how much longer she's got in her with the show. The part of her that's also maybe aware, too, that, like, the show itself might not be on that much longer. I don't know how much longer The Housewives really has in it. But certainly when you have Tamara being fired, Vicky being fired, you know, The Real Housewives of New York, old version, dead in the water. I can imagine as Kyle, when you've been on this show for 12 plus seasons, you know, and it's something that's occupied so much emotional, energetic real estate in your life. And you're kind of starting to look around and realizing, you know, the party might be over pretty soon. That's something else that could easily start making you question where you are in life and where your life is headed as you're heading into the back half of middle age, let's say. And then connected to that, I'm also very aware that she's very much on the precipice of being an empty nester. Kyle is someone who's had like a gaggle of kids for, you know, many, many years now. But Portia, I don't know exactly how old she is, but she's going to be off to college soon. You know, and I feel like the house that was once so full is already comparatively empty. And I know that Kyle has put a lot of her sense of identity in being a wife and being a mother and running in the home. And that's something that's really important to her. So again, that's something that's in the middle of a huge shift. And as I'm saying this, I'm really feeling like the parallel there of like the writing perhaps being on the wall for the show and also the empty nest that's looming. And how interesting is it that it's literally called The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? And so it's almost like her tenure as a real housewife professionally might very much sort of be getting to the end of the line, and also her tenure as an actual real housewife also is coming to the end of the line. And on top of all this, Kyle is someone who we know struggles a lot with anxiety anyway. She's someone who tends to have like a lot of restless, nervous energy. She is a control freak. She had to get hypnosis to deal with her fear of flying. Again, as I'm saying this, like flying, that's another situation where we're just truly not in control, right? So I do think there's like a real control freak in Kyle. And I think that as she's watching her life change, and like I said, these things that used to mean so much to her, now having an endpoint in sight, I can kind of feel and see how that might be triggering something very deep and agitated inside of her, where she's no longer feeling in control and perhaps wants to be in control. And that's what brings me back to it. Like, well, I can control my body, you know, in this notion of her body transformation as being a bid for some type of control in her life. Now, the reason why I'm saying all this is as I was exploring all of this kind of in my mind's eye, you know, her marriage definitely came into my sphere of consciousness. Like, I really felt something around now that the kids are out of the house, now that there's more space. Like, that's the word I kept hearing, space, space, space. It's like there's literal more space in the household. There's also more figurative space. Things are coming to an end. And now that things aren't so busy and crowded, kind of looking over at Mauricio and kind of having this question of like, who is this guy? And how do we connect? Do we connect? Are we right for each other? And yeah, it's even as I'm saying it, like my heart is seizing up. There's something about the discomfort of the space that's emerging and suddenly allowing myself to feel almost like the space that is between us, the energetic space between us, the emotional space between us. Like when things aren't so filled and busy, it's making clearer that there's some sort of energetic emotional absence here. And it's interesting because, you know, what I suddenly became aware of as I was exploring all of this, you know, if you think about the fact that Kyle has been on this show since the beginning, so it's been over 12 seasons now, and she's been married to Mauricio the whole time. And I was thinking about it. And I was suddenly aware. I was like, you know, for a cast member who's been on this show and let us into her home and into her family life and into her relationship, it's shocking to me that I don't think we've ever seen any kind of real instance of Kyle and Mauricio working something out between themselves. Right. I mean, the closest thing we got, I remember way back in season one when Kyle was having her conflict with Camille and Mauricio was Camille's real estate agent. I think that was the one moment where, you know, Mauricio expressed some displeasure over the professional situation that Kyle had put him in. And they kind of had to work that out over a lunch. That is literally my only memory of the two of them really sitting down and working through something. And I just think that's interesting. You know, again, like for a woman who has been on this show for 12 full seasons and has let us into her home, the fact that we've never seen a real conflict erupt between them, we've never seen them hashing out anything in their relationship, having to redefine the terms of their relationship, going through changes in their relationship. I mean, it's been interesting because, and I'm going to speak to this in the moment, like we see them together and there's love there and Mauricio sort of tends to play the part of like supporting her. So it's always felt like there's warmth. So it's never necessarily felt like a red flag per se, but it is interesting in light of all this to look back and really think about the fact that we've never seen them in the trenches of like true deep meaningful connection besides kind of this baseline of love that it feels like they have for each other. Now, I think there's one of two ways you can go with that. Either they're hiding it from the camera, which to me in and of itself would be interesting information, right? Like, why are they hiding conflict or moments of like difficulty from the camera, you know, when they're on this reality show again for such a long time and theoretically are here to kind of be sharing their lives, you know, or it speaks to a reflection of some sort of dynamic in their relationship where they are maybe just not going to deep with each other. As I say that, I hear a voice in my head going, ding, 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 ding. So that's maybe what I'd kind of be leaning towards. Now, what I think is so interesting about all this from a place of pattern, the perspective of pattern that I'm always talking about, is I can really envision a world where it actually would have worked well for Kyle initially and through much of her life to be with a man who wasn't going to engage with her on those deeper levels. And in fact, you know, one of the things that I think is so interesting about all this, there's been a lot of talk, of course, about Alison Dubois' prediction actually being right. You know, that she, way back in season one, in the notorious, infamous dinner party from hell, made this prediction where she said, Mauricio will never emotionally fulfill you. And at the time, everyone dismissed her as, you know, a wackadoodle. Rightly so, by the way, based on her antagonistic behavior. But, you know, now she's being vindicated. But what struck out most to me wasn't even so much the prediction itself. It's when you go and watch that episode, when you see Kyle respond to it, she says something to the effect in her interviews, like, Mauricio, not emotionally fulfill me. Like, that's crazy. And then she says, with like this kind of smirk, I mean, have you seen my husband? Which I just thought was such an interesting little possible tell, because I'm sitting here thinking, Alison Dubois, she's not talking about what your husband looks like. She's not talking about whether he's physically attractive. She's not talking about sexual chemistry. She's saying he will never emotionally fulfill you. And Kyle's response to that is, have you seen my husband? Now, maybe I'm getting it wrong and there's a misunderstanding and she's saying, have you seen how my husband shows up for me? But it seems to me that what she's referencing is a more kind of superficial take on her having the hot, picture perfect husband. And I just think it's telling about where her mindset was at this point. And I want to be clear, I'm not saying Kyle only liked Mauricio for his looks. I'm not saying, you know, she was just some sort of two-dimensional caricature of superficiality in her marriage. Again, there is clearly love between Kyle and Mauricio, but I do think it offers a glimpse into where Kyle's head has maybe been at, not just in terms of her marriage, but in terms of her life. I touched on this a little bit earlier, but, you know, for anyone who's kind of familiar with her background, I mean, Kyle really grew up in a family system, particularly, you know, from what we understand, a domineering, overbearing, very strong voiced mother who sort of drilled it into her children's heads, like, money is important, the type of man you marry is important, the glitz and glamour of Hollywood is important, marry into money, marry into money, marry into money. You know, we've seen how Kathy Hilton, she married into the Hilton dynasty. And so Kyle, I feel like we've watched her over the years sort of really be on a trajectory where you can see in the early seasons, she's definitely more of like a quintessential mean girl. She does feel a bit sort of more superficial in the early seasons. I think in a lot of ways being on the show probably has been good for her, because I think it's caused her to see things inside of herself. You definitely have seen her soften over the years. And I do think there's been a certain capacity for self-reflection in her over the years. But yeah, when the show started out, I mean, she was someone who I think was very occupied with the way things looked on the outside and having a certain kind of life. And like I said, putting value in them. And I think that definitely carries over to her marriage and her quote unquote hot husband. Have you seen my husband? I think Mauricio checked a lot of boxes on paper. And meanwhile, you know, one of the things we've also seen over the years is that Kyle is someone who definitely has a very kind of what you could say agitated inner life that it feels like she's not fully tended to. So, I mean, we've seen that in her bursts of rage. We've seen that in the cruelty that comes out both, you know, at times towards Kim, at times towards cast members like Brandy back when they weren't getting along. Like I said before, there's a ton of fear and anxiety. And I know for myself and for a lot of other people, you know, there's been a lot of a lot of speculation, let's just say, that there is a lot from her childhood, growing up with Big Kathy, as she is affectionately called, that Kyle has not fully dealt with. And that she was raised in a household where there was a ton of codependence, a ton of collusion, and there was very, very clear messaging from an early age, basically around, you kind of got to stuff down your feelings, you know, for the sake of keeping the family system intact, which is why, you know, we see the sisters bounce back and forth between conflict, and resolution. And it never quite goes anywhere because there is this kind of like codependent gridlock where it feels like they're never really willing to drop down to the really deep, difficult truths, where I think they'd really have to take a hard look at their relationships with one another, but then also what that meant about their family system and the way they were raised and the way they grew up, and possible areas of real trauma where they might have a right to real rage, grief, and heartbreak. And, you know, there's a sense, I feel like if they let themselves go there and really kind of know what was going on in their childhood and the impact of their childhood, it might really destroy some agreed upon narratives about, you know, who they are to each other, who they were to their mother, who their mother was to them. And, you know, I can kind of just feel a very young commitment to a codependent relationship that just keeps a lid on these deeper emotions. And then, of course, keeping a lid on those deeper emotions drives that burning quest for, you know, the life that looks good, the life that's going to fill me up, the life that's going to make everything okay, the life that, yeah, appears great from the outside. So the reason why I'm saying all this, you know, to circle back around to this notion of pattern, I can really see for Kyle how if she's someone who's got this preoccupation with how things look from the outside, and if she's someone who kind of wants to keep a lid on deeper feelings that might rock the boat of her world, I can see how it would really work for younger Kyle to bring in a man like Mauricio. Again, who's going to look good on paper. He's tall, he's hot, he's handsome, he's also driven professionally, and he's not going to go too deep. Now, by the way, I'm not saying any of this is happening on a conscious level. I don't think Kyle on a conscious level is registering that there might be something emotionally remote or checked out by Mauricio. And I don't think she consciously understands that that's something that would really sort of work well for her approach to life. This is where the unconscious is such a beautiful, mysterious thing because it kind of acts on our behalf without our even knowing it. But I can definitely see and envision a world where Kyle absolutely loves bringing in a man like Mauricio. Again, looks great on the outside, looks good on paper. You know, and again, I want to sort of go back to what I was originally saying about the fact that Mauricio is not, you know, he's not like a Bill Aden. You know, he's not some guy who like comes home from work and then sulks in the pool house and degrades Kyle. Again, on the surface, he looks great. He does have a heart. He does have love to give. He's there in the kitchen. He's bonding with the girls. Like, everything looks great on paper. But there's a way, perhaps, that he's just never going to go too deep. There's a way in which, in a kind of silent, covert way, that he's not all there and he's energetically checked out. And so you guys, this is actually exactly what we mean when we talk about this notion of creating our own realities, particularly when it comes to things that we literally are choosing for ourselves, such as the people we choose to get into romantic partnership with or our intimate relationships in general. So there's something that to me is so liberating and exciting about this, because this is where we can shift from feeling like victims of circumstance or victims of other people or even victims of God into a more empowered feeling of being on some level responsible for what we are co-creating in our lives. So even though something may feel difficult, painful, or challenging to us on the conscious level, even though the relationships we're drawing in might be giving us tons of inner conflict, and we may bemoan it, hate it, or fight against it on the conscious level, what we're actually exploring here is the possibility that there's actually a way that these very same relationships that might torment us may, on a deeper level, actually work for us. And I truly believe that this is, on some level, what we all do as powerful creators in our lives. We ultimately attract people, places, and things that reflect and serve our unconscious investments, our unconscious belief systems, in our unconscious fears. And this is precisely the reason why we so often end up in situations that both feel painfully familiar, no matter how hard we're trying to change them, and also feel so different from, again, what our conscious minds are saying they want for ourselves. Again, it's the power of the unconscious mind. We say we want one thing, like, for example, deep loving partnership, but secretly, there is a part of us hiding in the shadows that actually wants something else. Now, I know that this might initially seem overwhelming or daunting when I lay it out this way, because, you know, it brings in a question, right, of how are we supposed to create happy, whole, and healthy lives for ourselves when our unconscious minds might be seeking to undermine us. But what I want to say to that is that I actually think everything we're exploring right now is actually good news for all of us, because I think this is actually the precise moment where the true alchemy and magic of life could begin for someone like Kyle, and again, really for all of us. Because the moment that Kyle is willing to take responsibility for her possible part in co-creating the situation, for the part of Kyle that may have been invested in a long-term relationship with someone who is perhaps emotionally checked out, that is the precise moment that she gets to start asking herself, why? Why would I have chosen this for myself, consciously or unconsciously? How did this actually work for me? And so if Kyle were willing to even entertain those questions and to explore the answers to those questions as possibilities, and if she were in a place where she were truly willing to do the inner work, and where she had the support and help necessary to guide her into really looking at the answers to those questions, she is now in a prime spot to really look at the choices she made in her marriage and to possibly start disentangling unresolved wounds and traumas from her past that are crying to be looked at. And through that exploration, to essentially have a chance to return to what I would call her native self, who she actually is on an emotional level, what she actually needs and wants on an emotional level. She has an opportunity to start getting clear and essentially to say, oh my God, this is how I got fucked up as a child or as an adolescent or a young woman or all three. These are the messages I received about my emotional needs. These are the ways that I learned to turn something off in myself or to cut off vital parts of myself that actually needed to receive something from the people around me. These are the things that I actually needed and wanted for myself. And now I get to identify that, and now I get to advocate for myself present day in the way that I couldn't advocate for myself back then, because now I'm actually an adult who has full agency. So again, let me start getting clear on the truth of who I am, the truth of what I need and want. Let me get clear on my boundaries. Let me get clear on what I want for myself in relationship. Let me start cleaning up my life according to those needs and wants so that I can start living from a place of actual adult congruency rather than living from a place of old child-based fear. And from this place of deeply reclaiming myself, from this place of deeply protecting my inner child, from this place of getting deeply clear on who I actually am, now let me draw in a relationship that actually serves my adult wants and needs. And this, to me, is truly the magic alchemy of life, where we get set in these unconscious patterns early on, and then we, as powerful co-creators of our lives, end up recreating these patterns over and over as adults. And the beauty of it is that every time we engage in these unconscious patterns, and every time these patterns somehow end up blowing up in our face, either in a big way or in a small way, we then actually have an opportunity to use our present day circumstances to discover more about historical wounding and what wants to be healed in us. And then through that process of healing, we get into deeper connection with the truth of who we are, who we're meant to be in this lifetime, and then we can then take that out into our present day lives to become the human beings we were meant to be all along. And so I think this is precisely the moment in time that Kyle is finding herself in right now. I think what is happening is that this worked for Kyle as long as she had her own investment in being removed from her own emotional life and putting her value on the more external things that look good on paper. She's had the fame, she's had the fortune, she's had the Real Housewives. This was all the stuff that was supposed to be the answer. And now the things that I invested so much value in are possibly coming to an end, and there's this space. And then I'm looking at this guy over there who was part of the package. And whereas before I felt a certain kind of comfort and safety in what we might call his emotional remoteness, now I'm just suddenly experiencing it as emotional remoteness. And in this place where I'm starting to learn, either on a conscious, unconscious, or perhaps semi-conscious level, that perhaps the things that I've invested in to make me whole and happy and complete aren't really working, well, maybe now I'm willing to get a little bit more honest about areas in my marriage that also aren't working. And that's the place where I kind of feel Kyle looking at Mauricio and looking at this kind of like casual smile on his face and wanting to kind of smack him across the cheeks a few times and saying, wait, like, where, like, snap out of it. Where are you? Like, be here for me in a real way. I'm going through something now. I need you here for me in a real way. And you're not. And it's shining a fucking light on something. So the pattern's no longer working for her. So deep. Wow, this is getting deeper than I even thought. Okay, guys. So I definitely want to touch down on Mauricio's side of things and drop into Mauricio towards Kyle. Because as I was saying up top, we all are a part of what we are co-creating. And Mauricio is just as much a part of this relationship as Kyle is. And it's going to mean something to him based on his life story and his pattern and where he's coming from. But real quick, before we touch down on Mauricio, if you're listening to this episode and wondering how you can apply these same principles to your own romantic life, if you're someone who has repeatedly chosen romantic partners who ultimately don't fulfill you, if you've endlessly dated only to run into the same romantic dead ends time and time again, then I want to invite you to apply to my first ever group program called the Romantic Deep Dive. This is a 6-month program where I'm going to help 10 participants to shift from feeling like victims of romantic circumstance to powerful co-creators of their romantic destiny. This is definitely not going to be your typical one-size-fits-all self-help program. It is going to be a magical, alchemical journey that empowers you to navigate your own unconscious landscape, to discover what part of you is actually invested in your current romantic patterns, and how to use those very same patterns as the gateway to a more congruent, more fulfilling life. So, if you know in your soul that there is something deeper and more meaningful meant for you in the area of romance, but you simply don't know how to get there, go to the show notes for this episode and click the link to apply. Spots are definitely limited, and I will stop accepting the first round of applications at the end of Friday, July 21st. So once more, if you're interested in learning more about working directly with me inside the Romantic Deep Dive, simply apply before the end of Friday, July 21st. The link is in the show notes. Okay. So without further ado, let's turn our sights over to Mauricio's side of the street and see what comes through when I drop into Mauricio towards Kyle Richards. Okay, so there's a couple things happening all at once. It's so interesting. I've never actually experienced anything quite like this before. When I dropped into Mauricio towards Kyle, Kyle kept shape-shifting, essentially. She kept morphing. So in one moment, I saw her looking up at me with these pleading eyes of a child, almost like a little girl who needs to be taken care of. Then in another moment, she shifted into kind of her angrier side where she's acting out and she's got strong, powerful emotions moving through her and she's taking up a lot of emotional and energetic space. And then she shifted into a more sexual, sexually embodied, seductive woman who is tempting me and turning me on. And so she kept kind of morphing into all these different things at once. And I noticed that as Mauricio, my response to it was to kind of freeze up, particularly in the throat. I felt like a real freezing in the throat. And again, I've never experienced anything quite like this. It's almost like my internal experience of Mauricio is the only way I can explain it. It's like there's sort of there's almost like two layers to me as Mauricio. There's the outer layer, the more surface layer of my being, you know, the outer layers of my skin, the face that I'm presenting to the world. And then there's this separate inner layer. It's almost like the core inside me that runs, you know, from the base of my pelvis up through the crown of my head. And what's so interesting is it's the core part of me that feels really frozen and almost kind of like nervous or scared. The words I'm hearing, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Like almost overwhelmed by the different changing faces of this woman in front of me. And then the outer layer, though, it's presenting a face or an energy that is much more relaxed. So this kind of feels like the casual smile that I'm talking about. The guy who's kind of smiling at everyone, who sort of appears comfortable in his own skin. There's kind of an ease and a fluidity to the surface level of him. And then, like I said, it seems to mask something inside that is a lot more frozen and I would say scared to really kind of let myself know my honest responses to these changing faces of the feminine. And so I guess if I just start to interpret all this, it's kind of like as Mauricio, I just get this feeling that is complicated. I feel like I have a complicated relationship to the woman in my life. And I feel like I perhaps might have a complicated relationship to women. It feels like women represent many different things to me all at once. And it feels like deep down, I have strong feelings and responses to these different faces. But it's kind of like somewhere, if I trust this information, I sort of learned somewhere along the way, I don't have a right to all these different feelings. I don't have a right to my different responses. I just kind of need to hold myself frozen and act like I'm okay with everything. Now, it's interesting. There's a couple things I'll say about this. It's interesting because I don't know a lot about Mauricio's background. We did meet his mother briefly on the show. And I know there's going to be listeners who know a lot more about this than I do, but I have heard rumblings. I should look into this. I've heard rumblings about his mother perhaps being a we could say a difficult personality. Again, I'm not quite sure of the specifics, but I remember reading something about something to do with perhaps like problematic, very emotional, volatile tweets, and her putting stuff out there that seemed to people to suggest that she perhaps had a relationship to some kind of unhinged energy. So if we just go with that, we could posit that Mauricio perhaps grew up with some experience of unhinged feminine or womanly energy who was perhaps wearing many different faces. And like I said, perhaps learned a lesson early on that he's not really allowed to have much of a response to the changing faces of this kind of wild feminine energy, and that he had to kind of keep it all buried. And that, you know, as I'm saying this, what comes to me is like, I just have to sort of be the good boy who's there to support mom in sort of whatever way she needs in the moment. I mean, just intuitively spitballing, it almost reminds me of like, you know, there's a 12-step program called Adult Children of Alcoholics. And that's a 12-step program for anyone who certainly grew up with alcoholic parents, but you can also be in that program even if your parents weren't alcoholic, but you grew up in an environment that just had unstable, unpredictable adults who were acting in a reactive manner, and it had a same kind of energetic quality to children who grew up in alcoholic homes. So again, this is not me diagnosing Mauricio. I'm just sort of speaking to the quality of the energy that I feel in this, of perhaps like a little boy, young man who learned he had to kind of keep the peace and make things stable, perhaps in relationship to what could have been at times an unhinged mother energy. So let me just come back to Kyle as Mauricio. Yeah, it's interesting. So as I draw back in and I just sort of take in Kyle and I take in these changing faces, yeah, it is. It's like what comes to me is kind of like I sort of need and get to be there for her. Like she needs a lot for me. So it's very much connected to what I'm talking about. It's this notion of, you know, she's, and I want to be clear. I'm not saying Kyle is actually unhinged or problematic in her energy. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that Kyle, as we explored before, she is someone who has a lot of strong facets of energy that move through her. And so sometimes that looks like extreme anxiety or fear. Sometimes that does look like extreme rage over what's going on. Sometimes that looks like, you know, the strong love that flows through her. I do also think they do have like a strong sexual connection. So even though I don't think Kyle has done anything on the show that would qualify as unhinged or, you know, deeply unstable, I do think she's a woman who, like I said, moves through different strong currents of energy. And as I take her in as Mauricio, again, it's kind of like this feeling of like, okay, I get to be the rock for you. You know, I get to be the stable one for you. It's kind of like this feeling of like our relationship or this household in a lot of ways can orient around Kyle's changing emotional needs and wants. And so it's like, I'm suddenly hearing the words like, there, Kyle, it's going to be okay. It's like, I can be the one who is a support system for you when you're scared. I can be the one who can listen to you vent when you're upset about something. I can be the one who meets you in the bedroom. But it's this feeling of like, what do you want me to be? And I'll be it. Let me be the strong masculine rock for your what we might call tempestuous feminine energy. And so again, for Mauricio, if he does have this relationship or this investment to being the good little boy who does the right thing by the woman in his life, it would make sense then that he might draw on a woman like Kyle, who's got a lot of strong feelings going on, and sort of would look to the man in her life, you know, for support and stability, and to also draw in someone like Kyle, who, again, if what we explored is correct, also has a certain investment in not going too deep into these emotional fires, right? It's sort of like things play out for Kyle on a certain sort of superficial level where it's like, I'm scared about this. I'm scared about flying. I'm pissed off at, you know, Brandy Glanville for this reason. Or she has these conflicts with her sisters, right? But as we explored, there's only so far historically she wants to go into these things. So again, I can kind of just feel how this might mutually work for them. If Kyle's with a guy who's going to kind of embody this sort of, yeah, I'm stable. I'm a good boy. I'm here to be of support, but I'm going to be here in support in a way that kind of allows me to skip over any of my own tumultuous feelings. It's almost like as Mauricio, it's like, let's focus on your tumultuous feelings, Kyle, because then that way I get to stay out of my tumultuous feelings. And that's what I'm saying. This is the way in which I could feel a relationship like this as Mauricio might work for me. You get to be the shapeshifter. You get to be the one who's maybe a little bit more emotionally all over the place. And I get to stay out of my emotional messiness by showing up and being sort of the good guy in our relationship. Who, again, I'm the perfect picture cutout of the strong, hot husband who's going to be there for you in a certain type of way. And this works for me because then I never have to risk my emotions too deeply. And I get to play this part that's worked for me for a long time. And then, you know, and then I do kind of have this feeling of like, then maybe there's ways that I sort of act out some of these deeper currents or threads of emotion in secret somewhere else, like not in the family home, but it's something that I'm going to keep very secret because I learned early on I do not have a right to my own tempestuous landscape. I don't have a right to my own emotional messiness. Like I said, it works for me and feels safer for me to just be in this sort of adopted role of the good guy who's there to be stability and support for the more tempestuous woman in my life. All right. Look, there's a lot more I'm sure we could say, but I feel like we've actually gone to some very deep places in a short amount of time. So I am just going to leave it there. I hope you guys got a lot out of this. As always, I love to hear from you. So don't hesitate to reach out with your own thoughts and insights. And like I said, if you're ready to go on a magical journey in regard to romantic relationship, make sure you go to the show notes now. Click on the link for the Google Romantic intake form, fill it out, learn something about yourself, send it to me, and I will be in touch to let you know if it feels like a right fit. All right, you guys, I will see you on the flip side. Bye.